Our guest speaker of the evening is Professor Francis Hsu of Northwestern University, Department of Anthropology. Mr. Hsu was born in a little village in South Manchuria near Korea. He was educated in Manchuria and in North China. He is a graduate of the University of Shanghai. He received his professional training at the University of London, where he received a doctorate under Professor Malinowski, and has also studied with Professor Raymond Firth. He has taught and has done field work in China. He came to the United States in 1944 at the invitation of Professor Ralph Linton of Columbia University. Professor Hsu is the author of a book, Under the Ancestor's Shadow, A Study of Chinese Life. He is also the author of a forthcoming book entitled The Twain Shall Meet, A Study of Magic and Science in Human Behavior. He will speak to us tonight on the Chinese family and the American family, a study in contrast. It is a great pleasure to introduce to you Professor Francis Hsu.
This evening, Professor Lewis told me that I was to compete with Charles Lawton tonight. And I immediately told him that I know that I'm licked. However, I had spoken formally to an audience of three, and including the chairman, audience of four. So this is excellent. And I certainly am flattered that all of you can come tonight. Now, the Chinese family, anthropologically speaking, is what is known as a consanguine type of family, as contrasted to the American family, which is what is known as an affinal type of family. If you read Ralph Linton's Study of Man, you would have known what these two concepts mean. Consanguine merely means that the central emphasis is on blood relationship, on parents and children, whereas a final family, the emphasis is on conjugal relationship, on husband and wife. Now, I think that the Chinese family is an extreme example of a consanguine type of family, where the American family is an extreme example of a final type. Now, as a first distinguishing mark between these two, I'll say the Chinese family, the central thing, is what I call a father-son identification. Father-son identification. As contrasted to the American family, in which the central theme is husband-wife solidarity. These are my terms that I have coined. Now, by father-son identification, I mean that this identification is not necessarily psychological. It's primarily a social identification. Now, it means, in the first place, that the father and son have a community of interest. That is, they are automatically linked together. Now, the son naturally has to obey the father, but the father has to provide for the son and has to look after the welfare of the son. Now, this is expressed in a number of ways. Now, one thing, for example, the Chinese inheritance rules, even in modern times, is one in which the sons, no matter how many there are, if there are three sons, the three sons automatically divide the property that the father has. The father cannot make a will to say otherwise. There is no other way of doing it. Even if he made a will, it wouldn't be valid. Now the sons do not have to work get the father's favor and so on in order to get the inheritance. Now, then also it means that whatever position the father has, the prestige that pertains to that position automatically also goes to the son. However, it goes both ways. so that the Chinese proverb says, first 30 years of a man's life, you look at the father and respect the son, and the second 30 years of a man's life, you look at the son and respect the father. So that what the father is in the first place will determine the status of the son, and then and later on, when the son has grown up, the son's status will determine the status of the father. Whichever is higher gets the benefit. Now, the United States, on the other hand, the American family, is one in which the husband-wife relationship is the center of consideration. That is, they constitute the family, and the children, as long as they are not grown, not adult, not majors, then they belong to the family. As soon as they become majors, 21 or 20, whatever that is, then the children are no longer part of the, no longer have any definitive claims in the family. And inheritance rules are individual, so that the father can cut off the son if he wants to, cut off any other children, or cut off his wife if he wants to, or give her very little if he wants to. Now, this is all a matter of individual arrangement, and it's based upon a will. Now, I say that the Chinese family is based upon the father-son identification. The American family is based upon husband-wife solidarity. I say this mainly because all other relationships within these two family systems are subjugated to these two particular things. And in the case of the Chinese family, for them, father-son identification, this is the center of everything. So that everything else is referred to it. So that, for example, a man marries not because he wants to take a wife, but because his parents are going to take a daughter-in-law. That is the manner of speaking. That you marry because your parents are taking daughter-in-law. So that is the primary thing, and your relationship with your wife is secondary. And secondly, if it comes to a question of a quarrel, say, I mean, when it often happens, as you know, if there are two women under the same roof, they will quarrel. Now, if the question of a quarrel between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, now in the United States, the husband of the daughter-in-law will have no alternative. He will just have to take the side of his wife. On the other hand, according to the Chinese family system, he also will have no alternative. He has no alternative. Even though he likes to take the side of his wife, he can't do it. He has to take, even comes to question of showdown, he has to take the side of his mother against his wife. That in America will immediately cause a divorce, but in China, that is the normal thing to do. If you did not do it, at any rate, if you did not ostensibly do it, you will cause a lot of gossip, and people will think that you're a bastard, you do not know how to behave, and so on. You will lose a lot of prestige, and you'll be criticized for it. You see. On the other hand, if you just told your wife off in public and showed and said to your mother that this is an ignorant woman, she doesn't know how to behave, and so on, that's perfectly all right, and you are a great son. Now, you see, and then thirdly, in the Chinese family, between the husband and wife, in public never are supposed to show any sign of eroticism, such as kissing each other, holding each other's hands, and so on. All that stuff is regarded as being out of line, entirely out of line. On the other hand, if one of your parents died, or if one of them got sick, the son is supposed to show all the signs of grief and misery and so on that is normally regarded as being the usual expression of an American lover to when the other lover is struck with illness. Now, that is, when you're in China, when your father dies or your mother dies, you're supposed to neglect to shave, neglect to have a haircut, and dress sloppily, so because you are so grieved that you will neglect all of those things simply because you're not supposed to do. Your whole mind is supposed to be on the effect of your grief. And then, generally, according to traditional correct usage, especially for the upper classes, if within the three years after the death of one of your parents, if you got a child, that's a bad sign too. In meaning that within the 3 years of the mourning period, you're not supposed to have any relationship with your wife. Now, that is so. Now, so that is what I mean by this, that father, the parent-children relationship as being the center. And in China, the family happens to be patrilineally arranged. And therefore, the most important relationship is between father and son, not between father and daughter or mother and daughter. The mother gets her position because, by virtue of the fact of her marriage to the father, and also by virtue of the fact that she also gives half of the son. Now, in the United States, it's just the reverse. Here in the United States, the husband-wife is the center. They are the sole determinants of what to happen within the household. They are to determine how to discipline the children. And all the other relationships, are secondary, are subordinated. For example, if there is a question of mother-in-law, the mother-in-law in the United States is only useful. That is, if there is a family emergency, then she's called in and she performs the tasks of a practical nurse or a housekeeper for a definite period of time. When the emergency is over, then off she goes. And then other times, whether you stick together with the mother-in-law or not, or certainly there's no question of sticking together with mother-in-law. When you talk about mother-in-law, people always laugh. Laugh because she is usually considered a nuisance. At the best, she is useful, but usually it's a stumbling block to the younger person's happiness. Now, with that, the relationship is a sort of is always just a sort of on a friendship basis. Now, the other day I saw a movie in which a son, a young man, had a little trouble with his wife. And she left in a hoof, packed the suitcase in the usual American woman manner, packed the suitcase and walked out. A friendship basis. Now, the other day I saw a movie in which a son, a young man, had a little came down from the apartment on the next floor, and she said to him, "Son, you are not lonely. I am here." And the audience laughed, roared with laugh. That's supposed to be funny. Why is it supposed to be funny? It's supposed to be funny mainly because that the mother the film made it very plain that she was the major stumbling block to their happiness. Now, in the Chinese family, this wouldn't be the case at all. Now, in the American family, this is the case because the husband-wife relationship is regarded as being the center of the whole thing. All the other relationships, if they come in, it will only be because there is a friendship. Now, this is one contrast between the two families. Now, because of this contrast, the next contrast that I'm going to mention is that the Chinese family is potentially big, and the American family is potentially small. Now, if you look over the statistics, you'll find the average Chinese family comes potentially big, and the American family is potentially small. Now, if you look over the statistics, you'll find the average Chinese family comes to about 5.3. Now, that certainly is larger than the average American family. The average American family comes to about 3.3 or 3.4 or something like that. Now, however, the point that I want to stress is that you cannot call this a big family. This certainly does not agree with the usual picture that we associate with the Chinese family of having many generations under the same roof. Perhaps you have 30, 40, 50, or 100 individuals living in the same courtyard. It's not like that at all. The actual picture is that the vast majority of Chinese families are small like that. However, the Chinese family is potentially bigger than the American family because the American family is one in which if the son or the daughter is married, then the son or the daughter automatically looks to elsewhere for a household, to set up a separate household. That is